and welcome to World of Podcast, your World of Warcraft podcast. You'll notice I didn't put out a PTR show, Public Test Realm, and I'm mixing it now with my patch show, mainly because I didn't play a whole lot on the Public Test Realm. That's my own fault, really. There wasn't a whole lot interesting on there that I really wanted to check out, so I didn't play as often as I should have. So yeah, blame me for that. Also, the patch day really took me by surprise. I really thought it was going to be about another week or so before we got the next patch, and that didn't happen. It sort of came up on me, and I was like, hey, look, patch, yay. So, without further ado, let's get into some of the changes for patch 1.12. There were a few big changes for the new patch. The first that we're going to talk about actually became more of the sideline of the changes for 1.12, which was the Rogue Talent Review. The rest of the changes revolve around some PvP things, so we'll get into that. So we're going to start with the Rogues. I did check out some of the Rogue Talents on the PTR. I do kind of enjoy some of them. I thought that one of them that was really nice is called Serrated Blades, if I remember right. It's in the Subtlety Tree. And what this does is it allows a rogue to ignore X amount of points of armor based on the rogue's level, I believe, on their opponents. What this basically means is that certain amount of damage mitigation is just completely ignored, so it's a slight DPS boost if you put talent into it. I'm not going to say it's a huge thing. I mean, I think it's only like 300 or 400 armor. It's not something that's going to sit there and make or break your rogue's DPS, but it can be something that can help make you do a little bit more damage. Also, some of the talents were combined to free up some more points, which was kind of nice. Camouflage was one of them, and the other talent, I don't remember its name, that allowed you to move faster while you were stealth, both got combined into one talent, so now instead of having to spend 10 talent points to move 75% speed, or maybe it's 80, I don't remember, at level 60 while you're stealth, versus, and to only have a 5-second cooldown on stealth, you only have to spend 5 points. So what this has done is it's freed up some points so you can go a couple more points here and there in your talent trees. Again, though, there's not a whole lot of reason for someone going pure DPS spec to spec really far into each tree. I think you're still going to be looking at like an 8, 20, and then, you know, 23 spec or something like that. It's some weird thing where it's like 8 in assassination, so you get your 5% to crit, and your eviscerate does 15% more damage. Then you can go into the combat tree about 20 points and get yourself dual wield specialization so that your offhand does more damage, and maybe get dagger or sword spec depending on how you're going. And then you throw the rest into subtlety because that's got most of your, you know, backstab damage and everything else like that. You know, attacks from behind and attacks from stealth to give you more damage. So, all in all, a lot of rogues were still not very happy with the entirety of the change, but I think that some of the changes were pretty good. They did finally get rid of throwing weapon specialization, which, God forbid, was the worst talent ever. And I don't think anyone ever took it, except for maybe like one person playing a troll just to see if it did anything. Ooh, wow, you know. I forget what they put in there. Not really too interested. My rogue's still got... I've got two rogues. One of them's only level 20. The other one's level 38, I think. So they've got a little ways to go before they're 60 and could even get down there. So it's not a big deal for me to be checking out the talents and saying, ooh, let's see what I really want. So that's pretty much it for the rogue changes. Actually, no, it's not. I'm sorry. They did change a few other things. Vanish will now get rid of Hunter's Mark. So hunters are pretty upset about that, but, you know, QQ, who cares? And they also changed Sprint. If you talent into Sprint now, you can actually get a... you actually get a 100% chance to remove snares and other movement impairing effects. Now, granted, Sprint is still on a 5-minute cooldown, unless you talent into it. And then maybe that's just evasion. I don't remember if that also cools down, lowers the cooldown on Sprint. But, so we'll just say every 5 minutes you can get out of a root. Not extremely overpowered for those people who were crying about that. You know, it's every 5 minutes, cry more. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for the rogues. You know, again, until I get my rogue up to 60, it's not something I'm really focusing on. So we'll have to see how it plays out. I do know that some of my rogues in my guild have said that they were able to do a little bit more damage and get a couple more points freed up thanks to the consolidation of certain talents and stuff like that, which is basically what happened with the Druid Feral Tree. They consolidated a lot of talents, which freed up some points. So we'll have to see how things go. And if you're a rogue and you want to let me know what you feel about the talent change, go ahead and either email me, UncleThursday@gmail.com, or go to my forums, easiest way, worldofpodcast.blogspot.com, check the right sidebar, boom, big words, say forums, go there. Up next, though, is the PvP changes for 1.12. The patch is called the Drums of War, so it had some PvP changes. I'm going to start with the lesser of the two changes, which were two open world PvP objective things, quote, end quote. The first is in the Eastern Plaguelands, where you go and there's those ruined towers. There's one in Plaguelands, or Plaguewood. There's North Pass Tower. There's like the Eastern Tower and the Southern Tower. I can't remember all their names, but whatever. Basically, you go in there, flag yourself PvP. If you're on a PvE server, or if you're just on a PvP server, you're automatically PvP there anyway. Pardon me. And then you go in, and you just stand there. And there's a progress bar. The progress bar will move from left to right for Horde or right to left for Alliance. And basically what you want to do is you just want to have all the towers be controlled by your faction. Doing so will give you a couple little buffs. There is, at the northern tower, a little box that you touch, and if you're diseased by, say, one of the carrion crawlers or whatever, it'll cure that disease. There is a ghostly flight master at the Plaguewood Tower, which will let you fly to any of the other towers, provided that your faction controls that tower. And I will say, though, that the ghostly griffins and bats look pretty cool. So, you know, that's at least neat looking. That's pretty much it. You know, once you get all four under your faction's control, there's actually a PvE buff that comes with it. And this is where people complained, is that, you know, you're doing PvP objectives, end quote, to get a PvE buff. And what this buff does is when all four towers are under your faction's control, your faction gets a 5% bonus to spell and melee damage versus undead. This bonus also persists into Strathholm. It does not persist into Naxxramas, but it does persist into Strathholm. So it can, you know, if you're going for a Strathholm run and, you know, your faction controls the towers, you've got yourself a nice 5% damage bonus, which can really speed up the run. It might help people who are still having problems on the 45-minute Baron run, for example. So, that's the Eastern Plaguelands one. Let's see, I will say you do get a little bit of bonus honor for each tower you help capture. You do get 189 bonus honor at level 60 for capturing a tower. Wasn't a whole lot of PvP going on. It's more like, you know, one person would wait until one of the towers was empty and then they'd go in and change it over. Because there's a quest to do to take control of all four towers that nets you just under 5 gold. So I think a lot of people are just more focusing on getting the 5 gold for an easy quest. There was a little bit of PvP action that went on my server, which is a PvE server for my main. It wasn't anything spectacular, you know. It just a couple extra kills. Ooh. You know, that's pretty much it. The Eastern Plagueland one, they're too far spread out to really be anything. There's no real strategic advantage for your faction besides the bonus damage to undead. So I don't really think a lot of people are going to go for it. It's not something that a lot of people seem interested in, except to, as I said, get the quest done. And that's pretty much it. The next is in Silithus, which this PvP objective has been quite affectionately known as the Sand LOL objective on the forums. Basically, there's now geysers and little you know, piles of sand, which they're calling Silithist, and they're sort of making it an homage to Frank Herbert's Dune, where it's kind of like the spice must flow. So anyway, your faction is charged with getting 200 Silithist dust clouds, pieces, whatever. You go, you grab them, and then you're flagged PvP on a PvE server, and you run back to your camp, and you turn it in. There you go. I don't know how much bonus honor you get for it. I didn't really try. I did notice there is one major glaring error for PvE servers, however. I don't know about the Horde side, but on the Alliance side, there's a quest giver at the one camp who is not flagged PvP. On the test realm, my rogue on the test realm was on the PvE server, and my mage was on the PvP. So I was down there checking it out, and I'm looking around, and there's these two shaman just killing the quest giver over and over again, and there's nothing you can do on a PvE server to stop them. Because he's not flagged PvP, they don't become flagged PvP, you can't stop them from killing the quest giver. Good game, Blizzard. I have to go check and see, because if the Horde side is flagged PvP, then I'm going to leave massive bug notes on their forums, because this is not something that should have been overlooked. As a matter of fact, even if the Horde guy isn't flagged PvP, I'm still going to raise some hell, because honestly, both these quest givers should be flagged PvP, so that on PvE and RP PvE servers, the other side cannot grief you by preventing you from completing the two quests that are there. The one quest just has you go and talk to him, and the other quest you just have to bring a Silithist back to the thing and then talk to him again. There's no reason that those people should not be flagged PvP. It just will allow griefing to happen on PvE servers and RP servers. PvP servers, it doesn't matter. Because everyone is flagged PvP in Silithus anyway, so if they're killing your quest giver, you can still kill them. It doesn't mean one thing. You know, it doesn't... It's two shits, who cares? But on PvE and RP PvE servers, this is a problem. So anyway, you go and you collect the dust. You bring the dust back. What happens? Well, again, another PvE buff. This PvE buff does persist into AQ20, but not AQ40. And what this PvE buff is, at least before you hit 200, supposedly when you hit 200 something else happens, but I never stuck around, is your rep gains with Cenarian Circle are increased by 25%. This is actually a good buff, because anyone who's ever tried grinding Cenarian Circle rep knows that it is the biggest pain in the ass ever. You've got your mobs, you know, your Twilight cultists wandering around Silithus in their little camps, and they're each worth one whole rep a kill. Whee! That will take you fucking forever. You go into AQ20 and all the trash mobs are worth 5. Okay. So with this 25% bonus, every fourth kill will be worth more. I think it comes out to 7. It's like 7 rep a kill while this bonus is on you, or something like that, until the fourth one. You know, I don't feel like doing the math, as you know, 5 divided by 4 is what. But it turns out pretty nice. Inside AQ20, the bosses give you more rep, that sort of stuff. So that's a pretty nice little buff. So if you're going to do AQ20 and nobody's really doing the Silithist, go and have your raid move it around a little bit, get up a couple points, and then go into AQ20. I mean, you got to flag yourself PvP anyway for the second encounter. So if you're on a PvE server, what the hell's the big deal? And just go and get the little bonus rep. It really does make a difference inside AQ20. Other than that, the PvP objectives are kind of like, who cares? You know, you're supposed to get bonus honor for turning in Silithist. I don't know how much. I didn't try. I don't care. So, you know, whatever. It's not going to be a way to rank up as opposed to going in the battlegrounds. And that is the next subject we're going to talk about. Before I get into the battlegrounds, though, I will say, for the Eastern Plaguelands quest objective, or whatever, you know, take the towers, you cannot be stealthed while in the towers. The progress bar will disappear for you. You will not get credit, that sort of stuff. Also, the more people you have on your side, the faster the bar will move. And the further into your color, the red or the blue, that you are able to get the bar, the longer the other side has to stay there to get it out from under your control. Also, I haven't checked on the final version, but on the test realm, if you picked up Silithist, you could not mount, or you dropped it. You could not stealth. As a matter of fact, I had to vanish to stealth even after I, you know, dropped the Silithist, you know, a long time beforehand. That, I think, was a bug. I hope that got fixed. I haven't checked. So those are just two little things that I think you guys should know about the PvE, or the open world PvP objectives. Now for what everybody's talking about, and that's the cross-realm battlegrounds. This is something that people wanted for a long time, especially on those servers with such a huge population imbalance that one side could literally sit in queue for 3 hours waiting for a Warsong Gulch game or something like that, and the other side would literally queue up and be in a minute. What this does is basically it seems to be physically related. The servers that are on the same server clusters are linked for their battlegrounds, much in the same way they're linked for their instance servers. And what happens is you go and you queue up. Okay. Now, instead of just queuing up on your realm, though, you're queued up into multiple battlegrounds that are spreading across a different amount of realms depending on your, quote, battle group. That's what they're calling the server clusters, is their battle groups. Some server clusters or battle groups have 11 or 12 servers. Others have like 5. So it really is going to depend on what your server is. Go check out the World of Warcraft page. There should be some sort of link on there that'll let you check your battle group and see how many servers you have in your battle group, and that'll give you some idea as to how long your queues might be. Now, some people are loving this. Some people are saying, hey, this is great. My queues drop from 3 hours to like 15 minutes. I can deal with 15 minutes. You know, boom, we're going. Others are pissed because they were on the side with the lower end of the population imbalance, and their queues have gone up from instant to 15, 20 minutes. Again, cry more. That's all I have to say about that. Now, I will say that this is not going to completely obliterate queue times. It's not going to help everybody. Certain battle groups still do have a huge population imbalance where, you know, you might be 75% Alliance, 25% Horde. But at least right now, there seems to be enough people queuing up that even late at night, you're only waiting about 20 minutes to get into Arathi Basin. You're waiting about maybe an hour to get into Alterac Valley. I didn't really check Warsong Gulch. I hate Warsong Gulch, so I'm not really going to be checking that out. But just last night, I sat there and decided, hey, let's see what this new cross-realm battlegrounds is really like. So I took my druid in there, who can't PvP for shit. And what happens? Well, I took a screenshot. It's on my forums. After the first game, I had gone from 638 total kills, 641, to 666, so I have my evil HK count screenshot up there. But overall, I ended up playing, I think, 5 games of Arathi Basin, and 1 game of Alterac Valley, and this was late at night, this was at like 3 in the morning, so, you know, I was just queuing up for multiple things, and just going to whatever popped first. But I made 16,600 and I think 65 honor in a couple hours. That's the most honor I've ever had on any one character at any one time for anything ever. Okay, you gotta realize my druid never made it above private. If I do 16k honor for the next couple days, I'll probably hit corporal. This is one thing that is gonna cause people to look at it funny, though, is going up in rank is gonna take a lot longer. And this is because with more people queuing up, more people getting into games, the way that the current FUBARD honor system works is you're competing against more people to go up in rank. So now you need more honor, so you need to spend more time. The only benefit is, for most people, the queue time should have been evened out a little bit, so it's not, you know, one game every 3 hours or one game every hour when you queue up. Overall, there were some problems with the Cross-Realm Battlegrounds early on. There was a hell of a lot of lag people were complaining about. That seems to have been fixed. You can still queue up as a group for Borsong Gulch and Arathi Basin, which means you can still get steamrolled. But I personally didn't care. I have fun in Arathi Basin. That's the one battleground I think is nice and fun. There's enough objectives, there's enough strategic ways to do it where you know you can actually have fun. It's not capture the flag, it's more king of the hill, capture the resources type deal, but I kind of like it there. And, you know, you go from there. Your honor, like I said, you're going to get a lot more honor, but you're going to need a lot more honor to go up in rank. All I really care about at this point is hitting sergeant just so I can, get that 5% discount on my repair bill. I mean, that's all I care about anymore. Overall, though, I kind of like the way it worked. They tag each player as their player name dash server name so that you know when you're in, you know, who's from what server. You are going to notice that on certain realms, you're going to see the other faction with a hell of a lot better gear than you ever thought. On my realm, the Horde is notoriously behind on PvP, or I'm sorry, PvE. They are barely into AQ40, while we have, you know, a couple guilds on the Alliance side in Naxxramas. So most of the time when you went PvPing on my realm, you didn't see Horde guilds with Thunder Fury and Ashkandi and, you know, the other uber weapons that you can get. And one of my guildmates has been complaining. He's like, man, I'm seeing so many Horde guilds with Thunder Fury and Ashkandi and, you know, AQ40 and Naxxramas stuff. And I'm like, well, that's just because on our guild, on our server, our Horde guilds are behind. That's all there is to it. And it doesn't help that there's a huge population imbalance on my server as well. I think it's anywhere from 70-30 Alliance to 75-25 Alliance, maybe even worse. Which is part of the reason why the Horde is so behind on PvE on my server. So, how do they work? They seem to work pretty well. You're not allowed to trade gold or certain other items to other players on other servers. You are apparently allowed to trade conjured items like soulstone or healthstones and water, but I have not checked that. I just had a mage make me a bunch of water before I went in, and she was always in my group anyway, you know, guildmate. We just went in with like a 6-person raid, and we had fun. You know, we lost 3 of the 5 games, but who cares? You know, we were just there to have some fun, see what we could do. I learned that even though I switched to Feral Spec for a little while, it didn't help my PvP because I'm just not used to, you know, PvP as a druid. I am much more used to PvP as a mage and a rogue on my other server. So, I don't know. I still ended up healing. I still have plus 460 healing on my healing gear. So I can still heal like the best of them, even as Feral. I'll switch back to Resto soon, though. I think I'm hurting my guild's progress and rating because I'm not Resto. But that's just my own opinion. So yeah, I mean, I find them fun. I like the fact that the queue times are now much more reasonable. That was one of the reasons that I never really got into the battlegrounds at level 60, was because I wasn't waiting 2 hours to get into a freaking Warsong Gulch match. I wasn't waiting 2 to 3 hours for Arathi Basin, and I certainly wasn't waiting 3 to 4 hours for Alterac Valley. So I do like the Cross-Realm Battlegrounds for people that haven't really done Battlegrounds before. It'll give them more of a chance to at least experience them without humongously long queue times. 15, 20 minutes, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning server time is pretty damn good, I think. And from what I hear, during peak hours, forget it. It's like instant for both sides, so who cares? You are going to have your complainers, obviously. And I do agree with one thing. There should be an option to fight your server or join the Cross Realm. And the reason I say that is because there are some teams on some servers where I'm not talking about the Honor Traders, but I'm talking about, you know, the Marshal and Warlord and High Warlord and Grand Marshal teams that would go up against each other and have really good games all the time. You know, they would purposely schedule their games, and now they don't really have the chance to do that. So I do think that, yeah, you know, let's have an option. So if you want to fight another team on your server, you can do that. And if you don't, you can do the Cross Realm. So who cares? You still cannot join his group for Alterac Valley, which I do think they should change. I'm not saying let them change it back so you can bring 40 people, but maybe 10. You know, have a 10-man raid that's all your guildmates that you join up in Alterac Valley with. That wouldn't be a big deal. Obviously, they don't want a 40-man guild all decked out in AQ-40 and Naxxramas gear, just being able to what-the-fuck own everybody, you know, who joined up singly. But I think if they were to allow you to go in as a 10-person group, that wouldn't unbalance things too greatly. And you could have fun with your guildmates. You know, that's really what the joiners group is for, is to either make a pre-made team of people out of your guild that you just have fun PvPing with, or make a guild group and just go have fun. Even if you don't win, who cares? Just go have fun. Get your honor, get your rep, and go. And I gotta tell you, I had never done Alterac Valley before last night, and I cannot even describe to you how insane the rep gains are in there. I was in there for maybe 25 minutes, and that's one of the things that changed when they removed all the NPCs. The games went from 3 hours to 25 minutes. I don't know. But I gained 1,611 rep in about 25 minutes. I was absolutely flabbergasted. Getting rep in Alterac Valley is going to be great. I'll do it. I don't care. I'll stay feral a couple more weeks just to do that so I can at least protect myself if I get hit with stuff. Not that it really helped, man. As soon as my hands went green, like 5 hunters and 6 rogues all hit me at once. Those were fun. But Cross Realm Battlegrounds, I think overall a good idea. Overall, it's going to help even out the queue times. Unless your battle group is just one of those ones with just horrendous population imbalances on every server. But I think, overall, yeah, good idea. It actually has made PvP a little bit more fun. I don't have to worry about, well, this guild's in there. You know, I'm going to get 3 capped, I'm going to get 5 capped, whatever. You know, in no time and not get anything. But some people will complain. Some people will always complain. I do agree that we should have an option for same server or Cross Realm. I'd like Blizzard to implement that. I think that would be the good idea. And then most of the people's complaints will stop. You know, same server might have a little bit longer queue, but if you're going up against another team that you've scheduled a game with, then you're not really going to have a queue because you're just going to be like, okay, you know, everybody queue up at 8:30. Here we go. You know, that sort of stuff is something they should look into. I really do feel that way. It's stuff that I feel could be a help to ease up some of the complaints that people are doing, and also to just make it fun for everyone. Give everybody a chance to be like same server, battle group. It hasn't, of course, stopped the Twinks in the level 19 grounds, and it never will until they put, you know, item level requirements for enchants, but that's something for an entirely different show, which may come sooner than you think. We'll see. So there's your Cross Realm Battlegrounds. Hey, I like them. You know, it's actually going to let me PvP some more. I'll get my rep up at least so I can get some of the items out of Alterac Valley. Who knows? Maybe I'll even rank up to Knight or something. I mean, I doubt it, but you never know. I mean, I'm only going to be PvPing a couple hours a night, but when I'm not raiding, but that still gives me basically 4 days a week to PvP. I can deal with that. You know, 4 days a week where I'm not dealing with 3-hour queues. Yeah, I can really deal with that. So, hey. deal with it. Let me know what you think. Let me know if you like the Crossrealm Battlegrounds. Email me at UncleThursday@gmail.com, or you can go to my forums. Go to worldofpodcast.blogspot.com, look at the right sidebar, and click the big words that say World of Podcast Forums. Can't go wrong with them. They're free to join. I'll eventually, you know, pay money to get a real server for my own and move all the posts over, but until then, deal with the free one. A couple other changes I noticed, mostly to do with Zul'Garub. If you're going towards Jeklik, the Bat Riders no longer explode. They're not even putting out their remote. I do not know if this is an intentional nerf or if it's just a bug, so don't get too comfortable in case it is a bug. Also, Jeklik herself is slightly bugged. We actually killed her the other night with one death and then half the raid wiped because the bat bombs continued to drop for 3 minutes after she was dead. Watch out for that bug. It's apparently not very common, but it does happen. It was quite fun dying twice after I had already killed her. Also, they have finally changed the terrain in the Bloodlord's room so that you can no longer exploit the Bloodlord. Basically, the exploits were two ways. One, you'd have the whole raid stand up on the wall behind the spear so that he couldn't charge because he never had a proper line of sight. And the other way was to get behind the spears and between the spears and the walls and auto-shoot the raptor with a hunter and then kill the Bloodlord and then go out and kill the raptor. Both of those ways are now gone. There's now a hill that leads up there, so he has a perfect line of sight for his charge. So if you used either of those ways to kill him before, learn how to do it the right way. That's all I can say. It's not that hard. Not a big deal. You can do it. We've been doing it the right way for a long time. We're going to keep doing it the right way. So with that, I'm bringing this to a close. I will see you guys next time. Have fun.